As Mark announced, today we have all the children with us in the service, at least those who are on vacation, which reduces the amount tremendously. This summer is scheduled such that we have found it helpful to do this for about half of our summer services. For those of you who are guests, you might recognize that. If you are visiting, that's also the case of many of our regular people. They are visiting elsewhere. The topics for these services with the children are connected to the series we are doing on the book of Corinthians. They provide a background for the opening of chapter 10 in the book of Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. He mentions in that chapter five particular advantages which Israel had and five particular failures of Israel are also cited there. And if we looked at two of the blessings already, the food from heaven, the manna, and the water from the rock, today we'll be looking at one of the failures. This, as well as the other failures, it says, Paul writes, happened as examples for us, things that we were supposed to learn from, so that we do not repeat them. The thing is, when we get to 1 Corinthians 10, which will be August 24th, I don't want to take the time and look through each of these 10 items, so we've combined that with the children's services to go through a number of them ahead of time. So we only have a few today, but if the boys would like to come forward, I think, or any of the children, if they want to come forward, I know Andrew and Daniel, Johannes, Jonathan, good. If you'd like to come forward, there are two pews available up front. I do ask questions, so if you would like to participate, you will. Now, you heard what the title of this message was, and we also sang a song that used the word crave. Do you know what that word means? To crave something. I thought so. It started out in Numbers 11. The rabble with them began to crave other food. It means to want something a whole lot. When you crave something, you say, I really, really want this. And it's important to understand what the word means, because otherwise you won't understand what the Bible passage was telling us. The rabble with them began to really want some other food. Now the Israelites had come out of Egypt, and God had performed wonderful miracles to get Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let them go. And it wasn't too long before they needed food, and God provided special food for them. Do you remember what that food was? You know what it was called? Manna. Do you know why they called it that? Okay, Daniel?
Didn't know what it is.
Because they didn't know what it is. And the word manna means,
what is it?
So they went out and they said, what is it? And the name stuck. So every day they ate, what is it? And how did they get this food? God sent it to them somehow. How was that somehow? It dropped. It dropped to the ground, just like the dew. From every evening, every night, when the dew fell, it dropped along with it.
Like a short rain?
Like a short rain? Perhaps. But when they got up the next morning, there it was on the ground. But manna was really good to eat. It says it was called the bread from heaven. It could be cooked in various different ways. It tasted good. But manna was all they had to eat. And before long, some of them started to complain. Our Bible version, New International Version, says the rabble with them began to crave other food. Do you know who the rabble was? Adults? Who were the rabble?
Discontented crowd.
A discontented crowd. Okay. Anything more specific? They were definitely discontent. Troublemakers, okay. It probably refers to the Egyptians who had left Egypt with the Israelites. If you go back earlier, it says there was a number of, it's called in one place, a mixed multitude. It was a group, they weren't Israelites. They were extras. Probably they had seen what God had done and they said, this looks like a good thing. Let's go along. They saw how powerful God was. They saw the destruction upon the gods of Egypt. So they went along. Whatever the reason, these people began to complain about the manna and craved, really want the food they had in Egypt. Now we have difficulty, I think in English, getting the full meaning of what this word means. This idea of crave, they really, really want it for themselves. The food they remembered as so good in Egypt. Now the Israelites picked up on this. They heard what the rabble was saying. And they started to complain too. It says they wailed. You know what that means?
I want something else.
Have you ever heard kids do that? Boy, sometimes I have my office window open and I hear some kids walking by. And just the other day, well, this all the Israelites were doing this. It says Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to his tent. 600,000 men with women and children all sit in front of their tent going, I want something else to eat. Man.
I don't like manna. I want meat. Manna for breakfast. Manna for lunch. Manna for supper. We want something else. Manna on Monday. Manna on Tuesday. Manna on Wednesday. We want meat.
What we had in Egypt was so much better. We got to eat free. That's what they said. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. The cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. Now we've lost our appetite. All we see is manna, manna, manna. Bah. Now, you've never complained about anything you had to eat, have you? In case it's one of you don't really like at all. Sometimes it's hard not to complain. But the Israelites were making some very, very serious mistakes. Now, can you tell me what some of the mistakes they were making here? Yeah, Andrew.
They were wanting to go back to Egypt,
okay?
They were wailing to God.
They were complaining, they were crying, wailing to God. He had given us this good food, and you might have heard that as we read through it. It said, the Lord became exceedingly angry. Okay, anything else? They could have not had anything. They weren't thankful for what they had. Well, one thing, they complained instead of being content. You know what it means to be content? If you're content with something?
Yeah? Happy with what you have and grateful for.
You're happy for what you have and you're grateful for it. Right, you're thankful, you're happy, this is good what we have. But they complained. Another thing they did that was a very bad mistake, they listened, the Israelites listened to somebody complaining and followed them instead of doing what was right. Have you ever found yourself doing that? Somebody else was doing something and you just sort of followed along? No? Well, that's good. You know, sometimes I have found it particularly easy to complain when somebody else complains.
Easier to
Yeah, it's easier to go the wrong way. It's easier to go with everyone else and do the wrong thing than it is to stand and say, no, I'm thankful for this. But it's so easy. The area we came from in Germany, people used to joke and say this was the national sport to complain, to be critical. They just complained about everything. In fact, to praise someone was not to offer complaint. That was the saying, you say nothing and that's enough praise. That's just sufficient. And it was easy to get into that. Someone started complaining, you say, oh yeah, the weather, it's horrible today, it could be... And you just go right in there. And that's exactly what the Israelites did. They heard this rabble complaining and they got right in there and complained too. They were also concerned about what they did not have, rather than being glad for what they did have. Just what you said earlier. They thought about meat. They thought about the food they'd eaten in Egypt. They thought they remembered it to be so good. Now sometimes we don't remember real well. Have you ever remembered something you thought this is really great? Maybe a food or a place you had been, and then you get back there or you eat it again and it's like, this isn't as nice as I thought it was. Yeah. How about adults? Has that ever happened to you? You thought, well, this was a really nice vacation place or a really nice, and you get there again and it's like, oh, this isn't quite like I remembered it. Well, they were thinking back to Egypt and say, oh, that was really great back in Egypt. I remember when I was growing up, I had a Sunday school teacher. He was ancient. I mean, he and his father had built the house I lived in, and that was built around 1900, which for my town was old. And he would talk about the good old days and how great it was in these old days when it was simpler, there was no electricity and no phone, and how much simpler it was. And I remember one other man saying, you don't remember the lamps we had to use. They were dirty and they smelled and they didn't give light. You sort of forget the bad things.
In the 90s, we had no toilet paper.
Yeah. From the laughter, I guess you all heard that. Some go that in the old days they didn't have toilet paper. It was bad. You heard that. Another thing, they began lying to themselves. Did you catch how they lied to themselves? What did they say that was a lie? It was all free. What were the Israelites in Egypt?
They were working.
Did they get paid for that? No, they were slaves. Now, I guess you could say the food that a slave got was free.
Yeah,
but not very good. They didn't have to pay for it, except with their lives. Is that free?
No,
not really. Their food was doled out. They didn't have to pay any money for it. They just had to work all day and didn't have any freedom. They couldn't do what they wanted. So they not only forgot, they lied to themselves. Oh, it was free. It was so much better back then. And the biggest mistake they were making was making God angry. The Lord became exceedingly angry and Moses was troubled. Now, why do you think the Lord was angry?
Because he provided them with manna and sent them out to Egypt, and then they're so unhappy.
He took them out of Egypt, he provided them with manna, and then they weren't happy with it. They weren't liking that. Correct. They were rejecting what God had given them, and by so doing, they were also rejecting God. Listen to what he says later. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out your nose and you hate it. Because you have rejected the Lord. When they said, I don't like this food anymore, we want something better, God says, well, you're rejecting me. You don't like what I give you? You're rejecting me. The Israelites complained about the manna God was giving them, and they wanted something else. They were saying either that God, you're not good, or you're not able to give us something better, or maybe both. Who are you, God? This manna stinks. We want something else. Now, we should not make the mistake that the Israelites made, and we should not complain about what God gives us. But sometimes it's really hard not to complain. And it can be hard to be content. And we're going to look in a little bit at the New Testament and what it says there, some things that can help us to be content and to be thankful for what God gives us. But in the moment, we'll take a break for some other things.
Once a man came to Jesus with a complaint. Not much has changed in the hundreds of years since Israel complained in the desert. Apparently, this man's father had died, and his brother would not share with him the things which his father had left. This man wanted Jesus to tell his brother to share. In Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13, it says, "Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" Jesus warned his listeners, as he answered this man, to be on guard against all kinds of greed. Do you know what greed means? Greed is another way that the word craving is translated. The same word we had before in Numbers chapter 11. Jesus is talking about the same problem which the Israelites had. So let's listen to the rest of his answer. He says, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession." Your life isn't made up of just the things that you have. There's much more to life than just the things we own. A little bit later, at the end of this, in verse 23, it said, Jesus says, life is more than food and clothing. These are things that we usually think are very important. But Jesus said life is even more important than that. So as we look at the teaching that Jesus is giving, one of the first things we need to do to become content and not to complain is to change how we think. We need to know that the things we have, like food and clothing, are not the most important things in life. There are many things around us that seem important, that are not. There are many people who will say something different than what Jesus says. But Jesus says the most important thing is not what we own. Your friends may think that clothes are really important. Maybe they think it's games you have, or a cell phone, or a bicycle. Some adults may think it's the car you drive, or the job you have. They keep striving for a better job, thinking that's the most important. But none of these things are the most important in life. Jesus goes through and he tells the disciples much about worrying and how not to worry.
It was at the end of this teaching that Jesus did that he told them what the most important thing is. It says, "Seek first." What do you think he says? That's close. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." The most important thing is what God says is important. What God wants is the most important thing. Not food for me, or clothing, or a bicycle, or a car, or a house, or a job, or a toy. It's what God wants. Now, sometimes it gets very practical. Where do you think is more important to God? For you to get all the cookies you want, or for you to remember to share with others? Emma? To share with others, right. Now, is that hard to do?
No.
Daniel?
If you like the cookies, if you like the cookies,
That was a great answer. If you like the cookies, it's very hard to do. If you don't like the cookies, it's easier to do. You know, that's true. It's very easy to take, to stop, to take and give something to someone. There's nothing hard. It's not, you're not being asked to fly, which we can't do. You're not being asked to climb a real tall mountain, which only a few people can do. It's just share. But when we recognize, I really like something, we realize how difficult it is to not take all of them, but to leave them for somebody else. But as you said, what God wants is what He thinks is important is what He wants, and that's that we share and think of others as more important than ourselves. So the first step to being content and not being a complainer like the Israelites is to know what's important to God. Instead of complaining, why don't I get more cookies? We need to know that that's not what's important, but that we share. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 that he learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. He says whether he was hungry or full, whether he was poor or rich, he learned to be content. Now, do you think it's a problem for rich people to be content?
Yeah.
Okay, we got two answers, no and yes.
Chap is rich, then it's easy.
But it's a nice chap.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Not nice.
Yeah, the rich always want more and more. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, warn the rich not to be that way, not to keep wanting more and more. To have things isn't the answer. Because once you get things, if your heart is still that way, you're going to want more. You get something, you still want something else because that doesn't satisfy. But Paul said he learned to be content both whether he was poor or rich. He could have things and he didn't want more. He was content with what he had. Now, what's a secret? Daniel?
Something that you can't say because you want to keep it for you. If you don't want to get once that someone else does it, or...
Okay, something you want to keep for yourself that you're not going to tell anybody else. Okay.
Something that maybe only one person keeps it for themselves.
Something you tell just one person who's supposed to keep it for himself. A secret's generally something, it's not going to be known. You're not going to spread it around. He said he had a secret. It's not something that he was keeping for himself, but something that most people didn't know. They said, well, how can you be content? Can you tell me how you're so content? He said, well, I've learned that secret. Something that others didn't know. In verse... If any of you want to turn to that, in Philippians chapter 4, he tells us what his secret is. We don't have to guess. Starts in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Whatever situation he is in, he learned it. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Now, I think he's referring back to what he just said. These are the things, because if you're not content, you're not at peace. You're always wanting something more. You look, what else can I get? And he said, if you want peace, these are the things you have to do. Well, just a few of them, picking them out. He said to be thankful in every situation. Now, were the Israelites thankful with their manna? Mm-mm. Nope. They could have recognized right from the start there was a problem if they had just been thankful for what God had given them. We need to thank God. They could have thanked God that it came every day. Isn't it great? I mean, how often do you have to go shopping? How often do your moms go shopping for food?
Like twice a week.
Twice a week? I remember years ago, many of our neighbors, when we first came to Germany, the ladies went shopping just about every day. They might not even have a refrigerator in their home, because every day they went out and bought what they needed for the day. And if it had a refrigerator, we were shocked when we came to Germany. These little bitty things. I mean, you hardly had enough for a weekend in these little refrigerators. So, and the Israelites, how often did the manna come?
Every day.
Almost every day. Didn't have to pay. They could have thanked. They didn't have to work as a slave. They didn't have to pay for it. It came right outside their door every day. They just walked out and gathered it. And there was always enough. They could have been thankful that every day there was enough. It didn't come on Saturdays. But on Fridays they got... Hey, Daniel?
The manna, didn't that get full of sand?
Well, I don't know. It probably hung on the bushes or on top of the grass as it liked to do, so they could just scoop it up. The Sabbath day was for the Jews the seventh day of the week, which is a Saturday. From Friday night at 6 o'clock when the sun goes down to Saturday night at 6 o'clock when the sun goes down is their Sabbath day. They would do no work. So on Fridays, there was enough for 2 days. They didn't have to worry about it. Every day there was exactly enough. They could have thanked God for that. They could have thanked God. You could bake it so many ways. You could grind it and bake it and boil it and do lots of things with it. Another thing Paul says here, he says to be gentle. Were the Israelites gentle? No. Instead, they sat in front of their tents and said, "Well, I don't like this." That's not being gentle. We want meat. They were only thinking of themselves. If we have to push and shove, we're not being gentle. And we are not fighting against greed. Paul said to think on good things.
Did you notice?
Well, it said every family sat in front of their tents. I'm assuming that there's a few like Moses who didn't. Maybe Joshua didn't. There might have been a few exceptions. Often it'll say they all did something, but then they'll mention maybe one tribe who didn't. But it's generally, most of them did that. Paul says to think on good things, whatever's true, whatever's noble, right, pure, lovely. Now, did the Israelites think on true things? No. What did they think on that was wrong? Well, possibly, but what was really a lie?
They had it better in Egypt.
That was a lie. They weren't thinking on truthful things, you know. Right, they were never satisfied. When they were in Egypt, they wanted to get out of slavery. When they were out of Egypt, they wanted to go back. Just can't satisfy them one way or another. We need to think about true things. We need to think about good things, of pure thoughts. It wasn't pure to think that God was giving them bad food and keeping from them things that were better. We need to evaluate how we think. Things that are true, noble, right. It's a long list there. And these things help us to become content rather than complainers. We experienced that early in our time when we came to Germany. There was a lot of difficult things, and it was easy to look at the bad things, the difficult things. And yet it was the warmest fall in Germany in 100 years. It was sunny. And it was good at the end of the day and said, what can we be thankful for? So we had another sunny day, November, and it was warm and sunny in Germany. It was beautiful, and we could thank God to think on the good things. Being satisfied with what God gives us is very important. We do not wish to reject God by complaining about what we have or don't have. Now, it's okay to ask God for things. He tells us to do that. That's not complaining. He says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock will be opened unto you. Come to me. I'm like a good father who wants to give good gifts. But we're supposed to be satisfied with what he gives because it's always his best for us. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you give us so many good things. In fact, you give us all that we need and withhold nothing from us that is necessary. Father, I pray that when we think we lack things, that we would realize that we lack them for a purpose, a good purpose in our lives. I pray that we would become content by being thankful for what we have and remembering what's important. Father, I pray for these children that they would learn this early in life so they could grow up content and happy in you. I pray for Jonathan and Daniel and Andrew, Johannes, Amon, Elish, for each one here, that you would bless them, they would understand the principle of being thankful and not complaining. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.